to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
By 1972, things that helped build on itself to keep improving the program over the years. Of course, in approaching this, and even through the programs as the years went forward, you know, we would meet with some principals, and some would invite us into their schools wholeheartedly, and others were skeptical, but would allow us to come in, and others just didn't want to see it. But we would be, and generally where we were most welcome is schools in which the counselors were most enthused over this program. They seemed to be able to do more with the principals than we could, and they were very effective in getting this program into their schools and helping suggest where we might improve it. But we as we went through this, we could see where the students' attitudes were coming from, and their skepticism and their reluctance at first to open up and talk to us. The living witness concept was excellent because they could relate to these people, and at first they saw them as totally the exception. In some ways they were, but not as part of their community. But as we continued to confront the students with this, and the students then started openly asking questions, and the credibility gap started to close very rapidly and very narrowly. And I think we started to make good inroads. Then all of a sudden we became aware that the students would come to school and hear us, and then would go home and talk with their parents and perhaps be hearing something else. For the world of employment and good jobs, but jobs that particularly required skills, was not traditionally open to them, and their parents knew that. And their parents are trying to protect their children from terrible disappointments a little bit later in life, would not encourage them to move ahead into these areas. So we decided we had to get to the parents. So we developed a slide tool program that would show a number of these living witnesses in their work environment. And I developed a dialogue around that. And I would go to PTA meetings. And I would make these presentations at the PTA meeting, and I would give handouts of MEA materials at the PTA meeting, all in an attempt to get the parents to become part of the process, be supportive. And I was very pointed about that. And I think I talked to them in blunt terms about, what was happening. What their role could be, and hopefully the benefits that could come out of this for their children, and for all of us, for that matter. And so we did that. Then we developed another facet of the program where we would have tours of our workplace by a selected group of students from each of the schools, and we would bring them into the workplace. They could see people working, and they'd see blacks, they'd see whites, whatever the community is made of, they'd see them there, and where the job environment would permit it, they'd be allowed to talk with them, and this was fine. I think it added another dimension to it, reinforced other things. It was interesting that we talked with, I know one principal we talked to, and trying to get them involved in that facet of the program, and his was a flat denial. He said, absolutely not. He said, that is not part of the education process. Well, needless to say, we backed off from that school, but later went back to it again. We just kept persisting until I knew one day we'd make a breakthrough, and we did. So almost an awards program. It was very gratifying to see how that thing had grown over the years. And of course, I became general chairman of the NBA, and I was the third chairman. You were first, Wes Nicholas was second, and then I was third. And I served two terms. And I gave up the chairmanship of the Living Witness Program during that time because I had to broaden my focus of chairman of the NBA. And but I would attend the functions as much as possible, and I found it very gratifying that program, which I took a very personal interest in, was continuing to grow. And even to this day, I occasionally have talk with Dottie Fierce, who is still involved in that program. And I have a talk with Paul Brown in about a year, but he is getting to the point where I guess he doesn't physically able to get out and do something. So, but anyway, that's, and I turned over my chairman, my chairmanship, I turned over membership in the NBA some years later to the director of personal and public relations, because that was rotation assignment for me. I was only there for 2.5 years, and then I went off to other things. I went into a whole bunch of different assignments, and most of them were engineering. I guess they were all engineering.
Well, I think it's interesting that as an engineer that you would be involved in this community activity as opposed to typical personnel.
Yeah.
The function of their job.
It's out of character with the stereotype engineer. And it is. And,
well, Bill, you were a volunteer by nature, as I recall.
Oh, my. Well, let's see. I'll just start with my Atlanta activities, because I was involved with things in Jersey, too, but on a broader scale. But in Atlanta, I was involved in fundraising for the Art Center. Now, okay, this is before they had a facility down there on 15th Peach Street. I got involved, of course, in the NBA. I got involved with a board of directors in 1974. I was elected to the board of directors of Goodwill Industries of Atlanta, and which is now Goodwill Industries of North Georgia. And I'm still with them. I'm secretary to the board. I'm in charge of board development. I serve on their finance committee and strategic planning committee. I also joined the AESC, the Atlanta Executive Service Corps, and we provided consulting services to nonprofit organizations. And I offered consultation, strategic planning, board development, operational reviews, and I did that for several years, and until that organization was absorbed by another, I had served on another board of the Auditory Educational Center. I became secretary of that board also, and I was involved in fraternal activities, the Knights of Columbus. I became the chief executive officer of the state of Georgia, reporting to the board of directors up in New Haven. And I had a lot of success there, thanks to a good organization, a lot of helpful people. And I had a lot of other functions.
Let me go back.
Yeah.
First, you asked to represent Western Electric and the community, and ended up being selected as the first youth organization to chairman. You had
manager's response was, we'll just have two types of restaurants. One will be marked for men, and one will be marked for women. And, and that was quite a departure from customers. Our location in the vice president's office. but in part of my personal functions, you know, I ran into situations where people would go on leave of absence, and they, of course, whenever they go on leave of absence, they get an appraisal write up by their supervisor. And then when they want to return from leave of absence, the supervisor, if he has a job opening, you know, is expected to reinstate them, and some were very reluctant to reinstate them, yet their performance appraisal was good, and I would have to just hassle that supervisor until I got the results of it. That was a black person, right? So it was there. It was invented, you know.
This deal was that uneasy feeling about blacks.
Yes. Right.
Well, I'm just part of the times. So I can say maybe we had a culture that foundation which was existing.
No, nothing of any